I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Let's Hang Out. I'm Ellie Brigida.
And I'm Lee Holmes Foster, and here's what's happening this week.
This week in the lesdom.
This week in the lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. We are so excited for our trip to Croatia next September. We only have 2 early bird spots left. So if you want to sign up at bit.ly/lesdocroatia.
We also want to remind you that starting in season 6, we have been releasing monthly bonus episodes for our supporters on Patreon. So we have put out 4 already. Is that mm-hmm. right? So if you want to catch all of those, I think the last one that came out was on Chasing Amy. That went up on Christmas. Our next one is going to be coming up soon. It is going to be on Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. We had a lot to say about this movie and all the other ones that we've done our Patreon episodes on. So if you want to catch those, you can join at bit.ly/lespatreon.
We also, this is Should Have Been Gay 97, which means there are 3 more Should Have Been Gays until our 100th Should Have Been Gay episode, which is wild. And we are going to be celebrating with a live episode recording with Devin Hales and another guest who we have sort of confirmed, but we can't announce yet. So we will let you know
when announced soon.
To be announced soon. But we're going to do that on Zoom January 25th, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. You can get your tickets for that live event at bit.ly/SBG100Live. That is bit.ly/SBG100Live. Cannot wait to see you all there. I love a live Zoom episode. It's actually really fun.
It is really fun. It's like fun to have other people around when we do this every mm-hmm. now and then, you know? In the greater Les universe, we are aware that everyone saw Fletcher and Miley on New Year's Eve. Everyone has seen the videos. Everyone has seen the clips. I want to know, I feel like I'm seeing a split between people who are like, they for sure boned that night, or like people who were like, they have for sure already boned. So,
is it
Ellie?
Pre or post?
That's what I'm asking.
I think it's definitely before.
You think?
Yeah. It's happened already.
We need to know. We need all the, somebody's got to have the details. Somebody,
I mean, I'm sure Fletcher is going to use this be teasing this shit on TikTok for like 10 years.
I mean, it was incredible though. So
Fletcher is
no
also
complaints.
Having quite the year.
She is.
Really.
Good for you, Fletcher.
She's been on Generation Q, and which we have to talk about. This season has been an interesting one. I just caught up.
I haven't yet, so tell me everything.
So they just had a musical episode.
Yeah,
which
how was it?
I enjoyed. But I will say, like, it's everything you expect it to be. Mm. Like, it's bad, but, like, I just bought in and was like,
but I
cool.
feel like a musical
I'm here for
episode
this.
Always is, right?
Yes. But, like,
like,
okay.
It's always campy.
Yes,
the,
it
like,
is always campy,
way.
But, like, I don't know. Like, in the ranks of musical episodes, like, the music itself, like, Lee, you should have freaking wrote this episode. No shit. But, like, the music itself, I was like, oh, there's nothing. I'm not here for this music.
Yeah. Oh, that's
it was
sad.
Like a
because
weird...
I haven't watched it yet. What's your top musical episode in a show?
I mean,
ever?
It's obviously Buffy. That's like the best musical episode yeah. of anything ever.
I have to say it's Buffy too, but I will say my close second is Xena.
I haven't seen that one, so I'll have to watch it.
Oh,
and
it's
it
so
was
good.
Like it was fun. I will say, like, I did enjoy it. I was yeah. like, you know what? This is fun. No spoilers. I'm sure people have seen some of the spoilers. There's one duet that I really liked.
Okay. You're just saying people should have hired us to do it, which like
but like
valid.
Yeah, they definitely should have hired us to write the music because the music is like so forgettable.
Valid. I'm here for it.
But you should watch it because it's gay and people are singing. And a lot of them are really good singers.
Yeah.
Like vocally. It was
well, luckily,
cool.
Luckily, we're already writing our own musicals, so I think we just have to cast the entire Generation Q cast next time.
Yes. Like, yeah. Lisha Haley was crushing it.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure.
I love her singing.
Yeah.
And the girl who plays Sophie also has a great voice, but I, like, hated her song. But she sang it beautifully.
Fair. Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. All
well,
right.
Well, that's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee, and welcome to our 97th installment of Should Have Been Gay.
Oh, it was fun, it was great, but it should have been a little more gay.
And in this week's episode, baby, I compare you to a kiss from a rose on the gray.
I don't know the words.
Stranger
it feels, yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I mean, we had to break out some Seal. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Super excited to talk about this movie. I had not seen it until today. And it is gay. Like, real gay.
Can I tell you? Because we hadn't seen it either. And we started watching it last night. And we got halfway through. And Kelsey literally turns to me. And she was like, have you checked if this does get gay? Like, she was like, are we going to watch this whole movie? And then you can't actually do a Should Have Been Gay on
it. Actually a lesbian
because
film.
Because they get
yeah.
together. And I was like, I'm pretty sure they don't. But, like, no, I did not check. And no, I cannot guarantee that they are not going to end up together at the end of this movie. And also, no, I will not guarantee that I don't think they did, actually. Anyways, we're going to talk about it.
We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. Today, we are talking about... Thunder Force. Good. Very good. Very good.
The sleeper hit from 2021, Thunder Force.
Who's who? Who's Bingo and who's Hammer?
Octavia Spencer's Bingo.
No, I'm saying of me and you.
Oh, of between you and me?
I feel like you're Bingo, I'm Hammer.
I feel like I was just going to say, I was like trying to find a way around it, but I was like, I feel like I'm going to be Bingo.
You're definitely Bingo, but that's okay. I mean,
let's be real.
Both have their quirks.
They're both delightful and they're both gay, so that's
yes,
the important
that's
thing.
That's the important thing.
Should we dive into our IMDb synopsis?
Let's go. Here we go.
Okay. Our IMDb synopsis for Thunder Force is as follows. In a world where supervillains are commonplace, two estranged childhood best friends reunite after one devises a treatment that gives them powers to protect their city.
Aww.
Yeah.
It was such a sweet love story.
It really was.
It really was.
Really, really was.
So we should gay it up.
Okay.
Let's do
I'm
it.
I'm ready. Hit me with your gay synopsis.
All right. Here's my gay synopsis. Childhood, best friends, turned lovers, turned ex-lovers, turned pining after my ex, meet again the night of their high school reunion, and accidentally fall back in love when one of them accidentally turns into a superhero. and also super gay. That's it.
A super gay row, if you will.
A super gay row, if you will.
Exactly.
Thunder Force. How about Gunter Force?
I feel like you didn't know that was happening until it came out of your mouth.
I wasn't ready for it. Can you say that on the air?
I think that one got a little ahead of you.
Oh God!
We've lost Ellie already, folks.
Sorry about that, everyone. This film was quite gay, quite gay. All right, what about you, Lee?
Okay, here's my gay synopsis. I said, after a rough high school breakup, Lydia pines for her ex for about 20 years before building up the nerve to find her, steal her drugs, and forcibly reinsert herself into her and her daughter's life to form the family she's always wanted.
Oh. Right. It is such a sweet story.
Yeah.
It really is. It was so cute. I love the two of them have really great chemistry. They honestly had better chemistry than like half the lesbian movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, I love both of them like as actresses in general. And it was really fun. Like, I feel like I'm a little disappointed because this movie did not get great reviews. And I just think it's disappointing because I'm like, you had such a powerhouse team here. And I think Octavia Spencer could do more than they gave her. I feel like they leaned so heavily on Melissa McCarthy. They did not use Octavia Spencer as much as they should have.
Yep.
And I feel like that's why the movie felt a little off kilter, you know?
Well, because it was like everything about it was literally like Octavia Spencer is invisible. Like, it's like
is invisible, but also like just is boring, you know, and like there that didn't need to be the case. And I feel like when she was younger, they made her more interesting than when she got older in ways that I was like, why? Like, keep that going, you know? And it's like, I feel like they took all of those parts into her personality and like pushed them onto the daughter. And I was like, I want Octavia Spencer to get to like, I was so excited when they were young for that to like lead up to Octavia Spencer as an adult character. And then I feel like they like stripped so much of that back.
Yep. And even like they had that one moment where she's like, I can be fun, let's run away. But then it's like, you don't even really get to see like them being fun together.
Yes, I know. Ugh. So anyways,
or like go to the Van Halen concert, like go to the concert.
Yes.
But whatever, it's okay. We're going to talk about how gay it was because this was quite a gay film. So what was your experience, Lee?
I also watched it this week. I watched it yesterday, finished it today. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, I remember seeing the ads when it came out and then I never got around to watching it. And then I don't feel like they pushed it super
hard. They definitely
didn't.
No.
So I kind of forgot it existed.
Up. Yeah.
And then I was looking through Netflix and I was like, oh, I never saw that. And I, you know, we were like scrolling through for ideas and Kelsey was like, oh, I wanted to see that, so we'd picked up that because I figured there's no way it's not gonna be a Should Have Been Gay, you know.
And
sometimes you can just tell.
It did not disappoint.
It really, I mean, honestly, was like more than I expected.
It was like super gay. Yeah, like I feel like gay. We were like, okay, let's see what we can make of this. Like, it's gayer than a lot of our Should Have Been Gays. I watched it today, thought it was a nice movie. Like, I know it's like, you know, not the best movie in the world, but like,
yeah.
I like the two of them together. I think it could have been a lot better if they actually were gay, but I thought it had some good moments.
I thought it
enjoyed
too,
it.
And I feel like I mean, the thing that's going to be hard is like, I understand when you are playing in this genre, you're going to come up against the obvious misogyny of it, you know, that it's like people don't want to watch the superhero comedy with two women, which like is such a shame because Melissa McCarthy is a gift and Octavia Spencer is just so fucking talented. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you had just gold, like gold on a plate right here. I feel like the script could have done a little more with them, but they were still like, it was funny. The movie was funny. You know,
I liked it,
and it's
yeah.
like, and I feel like the places where it fell short are actually the places where I feel like they thought they needed to like build up this, like the things that no one was really there for, you know, like, I'm sorry, but Jason Bateman didn't even need to be in this movie.
Oh my God. Freaking Crab Man was useless. Like, also
yeah.
like legitimately to like kludge in a love story with a man with crabs for hands.
Like, it was a lot.
We don't need this.
It
we
was a lot. And the that's
end
the thing,
was
like,
was literally her making out with Jason Bateman, Crab Hand
yes.
Man.
Yes.
And that was like the end. And I was like,
no,
I
and not
hate
even.
This.
They don't even give you the kiss.
I hate this.
Right? Yeah. I hate it too. And I also hate that it's like, I feel like this movie, the gayest thing, maybe, I mean, we'll talk about like the characters themselves, but I actually think the gayest thing about this movie to me is not how gay Lydia and Emily are, each of them individually and together, gay as the day is long. But the gayest thing about this movie to me is that this movie is a perfect example of like comp het ruining your movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like the heterosexuality in this movie was the worst thing about it. And probably like the movie would have been far more successful without it. Because I'm sorry, but like the 80s hair prom dance sequence. No need
so
for that to exist.
Unnecessary.
The date sequence, no need for that to exist. The whole like feeding each other raw chicken scene didn't need to be in there. And
yeah.
It's like those were the worst and like lowest brow parts of the movie.
Well, also because like she had no chemistry with Jason Bateman either.
No.
Like
zero.
Melissa McCarthy, like, first of all, you know her husband was in this movie again. Like he's in every movie she's ever in. Like, I do feel like they always put her with her husband in these roles. And then even still, like, the bridesmaids, Melissa McCarthy, where you're like, this is a fucking lesbian. But she has chemistry because she's literally acting against her husband, right?
Right.
And you're like, okay, she has chemistry with this man, but, like, you're a lesbian.
Yeah.
But she had no chemistry whatsoever with Jason Bateman. And then add in the fact that, like, his entire character was supposed to be some, like, half miscreant who got, like, bit in the balls by a radioactive crab. Like, I was like, I do not care about you, Jason Bateman. Like, I thought you were just gonna be a bit part that like they were gonna kill in the first, like,
yes,
in that first sequence.
Yes.
Like, we don't need you here.
No,
we
it
don't.
it was bad. And I yeah. feel like the rest of the script was better. Like,
yes,
every other thing that happened in this movie was better than those parts of the script, you know. And I'm like, I feel like you leaned way too hard into the worst aspects of this. Like,
yep.
It didn't.
So let's talk about
really
the gay shit. So we start.
Okay, let's do it. Oh my God.
We literally start this. The second I sat down to watch this movie, and I was like, wait, this is how we're starting? We start the film, first of all, with Emily's parents dying. But like 2 seconds after that, right? She goes to school. She's getting bullied. And Lydia comes to her defense, beats the crap out of the guy that is is making fun of her. Puts him in a trash can. Also, she looks like the gayest little girl I've ever seen
yes.
in my life. What is she wearing? She's constantly wearing like Van Halen t-shirts and jeans. Like, this is a woman who goes to lesbian bars every weekend.
Yes.
But
accurate.
As a child, right? Then they have this adorable. I was like, this is the cutest meet cute I've ever seen. When they're sitting on the swings.
They're so cute. It's like, this is the type of childhood backstory for a romance that like people try to write for straight characters all
mm-hmm.
the time, you know, and like they don't always make it, and this one does.
It was,
like,
seriously
so sweet together.
So
the way
adorable
that, yes, the way that she's like immediately just being like, you're a bag of crap. Like, what did she call him? She's like, you are a, what is she? I wish
yeah
I
well they
down.
Were they were okay, so they were talking about verb
subject verb agreement
subject
yeah.
verb agreement, and he was, and
this is why
Lydia,
I'm bingo Ellie, god damn it.
Yeah, Lydia was like, so I can't call you a bags of crap. I would have to call you a bag of crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like so ready to step up and defend her. She's so ready to beat that kid into the floor.
It's incredible. And then too, like, Emily on the other side of it makes her friendship bracelets.
Okay, wait. I'm sorry. Let's be a little bit more specific. Emily shows up and is like, oh, I casually just made us these rainbow friendship bracelets.
Literally the gayest and the cutest. Like, why were they so adorable, though? I was like, these two girls are couples goals.
Yes.
Like, they were so cute. Like, I felt some serious feels for these two. That's why I'm like, this relationship is like better than half the relationship we have gotten other people to write in lesbian films.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
were so freaking cute.
And I also feel like they are playing it up, because you get these things where, like, Lydia's talking to Clyde, like the guy at their school, and he is just hopeless. And she's like, you know, oh, if you can't tell a joke, you'll never get a lady. That's just factual. And I'm like, how do you know, Lydia?
Exactly. Like,
know?
Lydia, are you telling jokes to all the girls or just Emily?
Yeah. I'm like, for someone who kind of like has built their whole personality on being like, the, you know, I'm the funny man. I'm here mm-hmm. telling jokes. And she's like, if you can't tell jokes, you won't get ladies. And I was like,
yep.
Interesting.
And we have like such an opposites attract storyline here, but it works.
It does.
It really works because it's like, okay, opposites attract, but you can tell they like really like each other.
They have a bond.
Ugh. And then when
they have a bond,
freaking Lydia asks her to go to the Van Halen concert, and Emily's like, no, I have to study. But then that scene when Lydia goes into Emily's room and is like, why don't you take a quick nap and I'll wake you up? When they wake up, Lydia is spooning Emily.
Yes. All over her.
They're asleep in the same bed.
Falling asleep together. And also the fact that the first thing she says when Emily wakes up and starts like freaking out, she goes, that did not go like I planned at all. And I'm like, what had
did
you planned,
plan?
Lydia? Like, what did you want? What were you planning for tonight? Like, what was supposed to happen at the Van Halen concert? What was supposed to happen when you got in bed together? Like, what part of this was the plan? And tell us more. Did you have, like, notes written out? Like,
mm-hmm.
what was the plan here? That's what I want
to
know.
The plan was for her to take a 30-minute nap, go to the concert, have their first kiss.
Professor Love.
Go back to her place and then start spooning. It just went too fast, you know?
And she instead they break up.
I know, and their breakup is so rough.
It's the saddest thing. Like,
it's
so sad. Also, because the thing about it that makes it such a breakup is that, like, everyone around Lydia, like, what is the time difference supposed to be?
Okay, so I
guessed 20 years. I feel like 20 years is accurate enough.
Yeah,
right?
It must be because, I mean, Emily has a daughter who's 15.
Yeah.
So that's at least 15 years time difference, so like clearly more than that. And she said she got pregnant in college, right? So even if they were like seniors in high school, which I don't feel like they were seniors in high school probably when they broke up.
That's what it seemed like to me. Yeah.
Then.
Right. Because she says she's taking her AP tests and stuff. Yeah.
It's got to be like 20 years.
So I think it's 20 years. The fact that 20 years later, everybody in Lydia's life is just like, because do they even really introduce who Frank is to
We
her?
Did not know who Frank was before.
Right? It's
we
just
see
like,
Frank
here's this random man at a diner who knows you are obsessed with Emily still, knows that you've never gotten over her, and is like, I got her number for you for your reunion. And you're
the
just like, you've got it bad.
And the gayest thing I think about this is that, like, Lydia has been pining for Emily so hardcore.
Yeah.
That, like, Emily sort of, like, destroyed Lydia in that breakup. Like, Emily basically was like, I cannot be friends with you because you are bringing me down. And Lydia still is, like, obsessed with Emily, right? There's, like, she's still in love with her. Like, she's basically like, I know that me and Emily are still best friends. We're still, like, 20 years later. She has no animosity towards her. She only has love.
When she sees her on the TV and she's just like,
yeah, she's like, good. Yeah, she's like, good for you.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Like, my little heart breaks. It breaks. And then, when Frank gets her that phone number and then he's like, they're talking about the reunion and she's like, I'm not going to call her, like, that'd be weird, whatever. And he has this one line where he goes, it'd be great if she came, though. And, like, her little puppy dog face when she turns around, like, she looks so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it, my, ugh, you're just like, ugh, little face.
It was painful to see this, like, 20 years later, she still is holding on to this.
She's so sad. Can you imagine being that sad for 20 years over your high school girlfriend?
Like, because they're fucking soulmates.
Yeah.
Because they're soulmates. It's like literally, it's fucking, it's the Notebook shit. It is. He built her
The Notebook and Thunder Force, frequently compared movies.
But, like, that's how long it is, right? He built her a house while he's waiting for her, right? Lydia has been holding out hope for 20 years. She hasn't dated anyone.
Is that like, why her milk is so old? She's been keeping that one.
Yeah, she kept everything exactly the same for when
for 20 years.
For when Emily finally comes back to her. But like, that is a long time. Like, that is love of your life shit.
Yeah.
That is insane. Insane. And yeah, then when they actually, like, when she goes to her, what's it called? When she goes to her office.
Building. Yeah.
And the front desk person is like, she's not going to let you up. Like, she doesn't let anyone up. And Lydia is like, I'm her best friend, or used to be her best friend, but we're, you know, we still are. 20 years. Yeah. It has been 20 years. But the point is, Emily's like, send her up. And the front desk person's like, I'm so confused by this.
I feel like the front desk girl knew. Like, I feel like she was like, oh, you're her ex. She's not going to let you up. And then she was like, interesting.
Maybe there's still hope for you.
Interesting. I did not see that going this way. But no, yeah, I mean, that whole conversation. Again, I mean, it's like the whole beginning of this movie, man. Lydia is just like a sad, kicked around little puppy dog. Like, she is just so in love and sad still, and it's so hard.
It
like
is,
and I feel
really
like they're trying to like, yeah, they're trying to like laugh it up with, you know, like Melissa McCarthyism humor, and I'm just like, but she's playing it so serious and sad.
Yeah, it's actually heartbreaking.
Like, I'm like,
this is not funny. This is actually not funny at all.
Jokes that you want in here, but like, it's sad.
Yeah.
And she's not, and she doesn't like play that part of it comedically, you know? Like,
no.
There's a real kind of like honesty to how she plays that whole part of the storyline that I was like, I think it's part of why the movie feels so gay to me, is I'm just like, oh, wow, you like really dug into that, huh?
I really think that Melissa McCarthy was like writing on her notes, like, is in love with her best friend. Like, that's like, that's how she was playing it.
For sure.
She
well, and especially,
that
I mean, the dialogue
love.
Doesn't help. Like, when she's having that whole conversation with the receptionist and she's like, I'd like to go up and take her back to our reunion.
Yeah. Also, like, literally the fact that she's like, I know you don't like to go to things alone. Because clearly, like, every time they've ever gone somewhere, they've gone together.
Stop
Like, she's like, be my date to the reunion.
Now I'm sad again.
I know.
And then she goes up and she's like, she tells her how classy she looks. Like, she's so obsessed with like, oh my God, you look great. Like, you look amazing.
That
she's like building her up.
And but they both to each other, like, even like Emily's like, oh, Lydia, you look so great. And she was like, it's so good to see you, like, after 20 years. And when they have the scene where Lydia spills a beer on her, like, I would half of surprise, like, I would not have been surprised if she just was like, oh, sorry, I spilled this beer. Like, you know, like that scene you always
better
have.
Better get these wet clothes off of you. Yeah.
Like, it felt, there was some serious tension.
Not
Maybe just
that
like,
was her
oh,
move.
I'm.
Do you think that was her move?
Yeah, to be like, oh, I'll finally get her clothes off.
Yeah. And then it didn't work. And she was like, what else can I do to make sure that she cannot get rid of me again?
Yeah. Let me just inject myself with this superhero potion.
There
was
also
a lot of tension in that
you,
scene. Like, I really thought, I was like, this is love.
This is love. I also have to tell you this really fun progression of notes that I wrote down, because this, I swear to God, verbatim as I'm watching the movie, this is this is what I wrote down, because this is the scene where we meet Allie, right?
Oh my God.
So I wrote down one bullet point. It just says, the lesbian she works with.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next bullet point goes, oh, and then this other one. And then my next bullet point goes, oh no, that's her daughter.
Oops.
Oops. But also, Tracy's gay as fuck. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everyone is. But the fact that she also compares Allie to Jodie Foster.
Yes.
When she's like, she's called
renowned lesbian Jodie Foster.
Like, known lesbian. And the fact that that lesbian woman, Allie, knew exactly what she was talking about when she was talking about the Jodie Foster movie. She's like, 1994. Yeah. Yes, Jodie Foster. I'm like, that is
She's like, yeah, I have Jodie Foster's entire catalog of filmography memorized, as any good lesbian should.
That is a gigantic lesbian.
Yes. Yes. She's at the second Allie walks on, I was just like, wow. Okay.
The suit.
So, yeah.
Just like the way she carries herself. I'm like, and she's like, I'm so over this. She's like, I'm so bored by you, like, lesbian. lesbian.
And you can for sure tell, like, I feel like Lydia picks up on it too and is like, okay, well, I can't leave you alone with this clear lesbian.
Yep.
Moving in on you and your child, like, you know, she's like, I gotta get in there. I gotta find my in.
Mm-hmm. And she gets the in. There's also a scene, this is sort of further down, but to talk about the daughter. First of all, the bond between Lydia and her and Emily's daughter is so cute.
Lydia's vying so hard to be a new mommy. Come on. Oh, yeah.
She's playing video games with her. She's asking her about her life. Like, she wants to get to know her. But she asks her, how does she date? And she says, like, if you're into dudes or chicks or any gender. I understand, like, they make a lot of lesbian jokes in this freaking movie, which is, like, sort of just, like, actually just don't make the joke. Just do it. It's not a joke. Like, why doesn't she say, she should just say girls. But I feel like they're like, oh, well, we're making fun of PC culture and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, no, actually, this is a queer woman who's like, oh, if I'm going to ask a young person, I can't just assume they're dating men because I'm gay. So, like, well, who are you dating?
I love it because anytime people write a scene like that in that way, to me, it always just feels like, I feel like she asks and she's like, oh, like, you know, boys or girls or like, or, you know, like, however, whoever you're into or whatever. And then I feel like Tracy's being like, oh, no, I'm very straight. And then Lydia's like, oh, yeah, me too. Like,
where they're like, oh, yeah, wink, wink.
Yes, I am also heterosexual as well. I mean, like,
I love dudes.
The problem when you write it, like, kind of tongue-in-cheek that way for me is that I actually just can never read
Don't believe it as
mm-hmm. real. Yeah, it always feels like people are just sort of, like, playing along, you know? And I'm like, oh, okay, so you're both gay. Correct. I already called that. Great. Like, this is news to nobody watching this movie.
No, not at all. I'm like, so you're into dudes, and yet you are into this man with crab hands.
Oh, God.
Doesn't track.
No.
Doesn't track.
I want to talk about him as little as possible, and yet also... Ugh.
I know. But yeah, so I mean, just cut him out, and it makes, like, this perfect... Right? Because, like, now exes, they have this moment where it's like, all right, I guess we have to be with each other because your body's going to explode if you don't stay here. And so I feel like they don't really, like, waste too much time having Emily be annoyed with Lydia, which I liked.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't.
No, like, none. Right? She's like, well, I feel like, you got to move in.
Yeah.
If you got to move in, you got to move in.
Yeah. She's like, okay, I guess we're doing this now. And I feel like she's almost, like, happy that Lydia fucked it up and now she has to be with her for, like, what, 32 weeks? Like, how long is her training?
Oh, I thought it was days.
Oh, days. That would make more sense. 32 days. Yeah. Right?
No, yeah. I mean, absolutely. She's like, oh, you gotta stay. Otherwise, you might explode. You would explode. Not me. Definitely you. It's for your own safety. You better stay. I have a guest room all made up for you.
Perfect. But yeah, it's, like, the perfect excuse to then become a family. And also, speaking of family, Emily's quote-unquote, like, baby daddy, nowhere to be found. And, like, they sort of explain it. They explain it, like, very quickly.
Listen, I have a theory. I mean, it's not like there is a surprise that we are just going to write our own headcanons when we watch these movies. But here's the thing. Because there is an awful lot... I mean... I'm approaching this as though this is, you know, deep, deep, meaningful script writing. But here's the thing. They have established one thing and almost only one thing about Emily's character in this movie, which is that she will allow nothing to derail her from her mission, right? Lydia started getting in the way, and so she was like, gotta push Lydia off to the side because, like, gotta focus on the plan. And you expect me to believe that that mentality, that person, gets pregnant in college with a dude who immediately ghosts and decides to keep that baby without it being an easy way to have a child when she's clearly a lesbian.
So right.
Right.
So she literally was like, well, fuck it. I'm a lesbian anyways. This is it. Let's just go for it. I got this baby now. I feel like
she took the, like, she was like, okay, listen, like, I saw Bette and Tina in the early days. Like, they were just going to go around and, like, fuck some dude to get a baby. And, like, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I can put this into practice. Where's a dude? Fucked him, got a baby. There you go.
Easy peasy. And
easy peasy. And now she's got a baby.
Puts her baby to work at 15.
Yeah. But, and I also, because I feel like same thing, like, I feel like she is like, how am I ever going to have a family if it wasn't with Lydia? What am I going to do? Gotta have a family, gotta carry on the legacy. And so she's just like, okay, that dude, sure, whatever. He will not be interested in me in a week.
And you were right.
And when she tells Lydia, what was Lydia's response?
His loss. Because now Lydia's the other mom.
Like, these two.
They are together, first of all. They're in love. This would be so much better. Just get rid of every single man in here. Like, they're in love. Let's do it. There's an easy scene. They wrote us a scene where they come out with her grandmother, right?
Oh, my God.
Emily's.
I can't.
This scene killed me.
With the grandmother.
I'm like, why are you?
Honestly, that was the point where Kelsey was like, are you sure they don't end up together? She was like, are you positive this movie does not end in a wedding? And I was like, no.
Literally,
honestly,
not sure.
Less and less certain by the minute right now. Because grandma ships it so fucking. Grandma has been waiting for 20 years.
20 years. She's right? Literally, because she, when we see them in high school and they've been like, they have dinner all the time at her grandmother's and like Lydia's doing the grace and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, we have to tell you something. For anyone who's listening, if you have not seen this movie, like, this is the scene. We have to tell you something. Grandma goes, oh my God, I've been waiting for this day. I'm so happy. You are perfect together. Thank you. Like, finally, you've realized it. I have a wedding cake topper that I personally made for you that's ready for the wedding. Let's go.
And she's probably had that cake topper since they were in
20
in
years
high school.
Yeah.
Like, for sure. Also, I super need, like, an art department because I'll tell you what, dude, it's hard to find good lesbian wedding cake toppers, okay?
Right? That was actually really nice wedding topper. So, like, do not waste it, Lydia and Emily.
Yes.
Get your wedding fucking planned. She literally says, once you defeated all the miscreants, you can have your wedding.
No, not you can have your wedding. Only then can the two of you get married.
Yes.
Only when you've done this. Like, that's your prize. Like, you can have a little wedding as a treat. That's what grandma says, right? Like, grandma, fucking ally, is like, and here's what I love about it too, because when the whole scene in the beginning when Frank is like, oh, I got Emily's number for you. He got it
from the grandma.
From her grandmother. Mm-hmm. So you know grandma's out here, like, hunting Frank down. She's like, I picture grandma following Lydia around after work, like, she's fucking tailing her.
She has been
to the diner
the shit out of this.
Yeah. And then she's like becoming a regular at the diner to like befriend Frank to like start talking about Lydia so that she can pass this number along, because she's like, listen, I've been trying to set her up with other women, it's going nowhere, like, I need her to get back together with her one and only, and like, we gotta make this happen. Grandma and Frank are like scheming behind the scenes, man. They are making this shit happen. And, like, props to grandma. Like,
I know, but that's what pisses me off about this movie is, like, why are you making this a joke? Like, this is legit.
It was not a joke to grandma, I'll tell you what.
Like, right? This is so, like, she has legitimately, she wants them together. She even says to them, which cracked me up, she's, you haven't even tried it. Like, she wants them, she's like, even if you're straight, like, I want you to try.
Care. Yeah,
you just
she's
need
like
to try.
You're fooling only yourselves here.
Yeah, I also just love the juxtaposition of a grandmother, being like, "But you should try it, but like, don't knock it till you tried it." Like, literally,
grandma's probably tried it.
She's definitely tried it, which is why she's "Just try it. You'll be fine. It's gonna be great."
But here's what's funny is, like, even while this movie is writing it to be like, "Ha ha, so funny," grandma thinks they're gay, and we're like, "Because they're gay," and at the same time that the movie is doing that, you have them saying lines where, like, Emily in that scene tells her grandmother, like, please move into our building.
please move in with us. Yeah, like they please constantly talk like a couple.
Move into our building. And I'm like, I'm sorry, listen to yourself. Listen to yourself. That's madly not enough. That's not how you, that's not how straight friend, that's not, there's no platonic, that's not a thing. That's not a thing.
They are madly, madly, deeply in love, life yes. partners. They are going to live their entire lives together in not this version of this stupid film. How well, dare and, you?
And because, okay, like, I get it. Emily is like, I'm worried for grandma. Move into our building. Okay. But the other gayest thing that happens over and over again in this movie that, again, Melissa McCarthy, like, refuses to make into a joke is how, like, Lydia would literally die to protect Emily and Tracy. Like, there, every time that she has, how many times does she, like, throw herself in front of them? She, somebody, but like the king busts in and she's like pushing them shields behind them. Her. The laser busts into the diner and she's like flipping them when, up behind.
In the diner when yes. she flips on top. So there's a part.
I mean, please.
Where she flips. She's like, get down, stay down. And then she flips over the counter and she lands like face first yeah. in Emily's lap.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a moment. Yes. That was a real moment.
She,
and it was too comfortable.
She is just constantly putting herself in harm's way to protect her family. Like, I'm sorry, that's what you do when that's your family, is you're like, get behind me, I will shield you. I don't need super strength to make this decision. She's like, give me the bomb, we all know how this ends, let me die heroically saving you.
Like, I know, she literally grabs a bomb, jumps out of a window into the water to save the two most yes. important people in her life.
Yes.
It's, oh God.
It's a lot. And that's what I'm saying, is like, she always, like, there is not a scene in this movie where Emily could in any possible way be harmed that she is not putting herself in the middle.
Constantly.
It just never happens.
And it's not just because she has super strength, let's be real. Because she did it in the beginning of the film as well.
Yes.
Before she yes. had super strength.
That's what I'm saying. She has been doing this since they were children. Like, there is no super strength required. She is just like, this is my natural default operating position, is putting
protect
myself,
my love.
Yes, in between Emily and any sort of danger, unhappiness, discomfort, like, whatever it is, I am going to take that hit for her. Like,
I know.
That's love, man.
It's so good. And then, too, like, the fact that there's, like, moments between Tracy and Lydia that are also like similar, where you're just like, Lydia also loves your daughter so much because it's your daughter.
Yes.
Right? Like, and too, I really like, there's some, I just feel like their relationship is so beautiful, especially in that opposites attracts kind of way, because like, you see Lydia pull some things out of Emily that like, Emily was having a hard time connecting with her daughter. And then, like, she has some really nice moments with her daughter because of Lydia, where she's like, I'm sorry I wasn't listening to you as much. Like, Lydia showed me, basically, that, like, I yeah. need to be better. And then, too, like, I don't know, just, like, the way that Emily talks to, that Lydia talks to Emily about Tracy, where she's just like, you did such a good job. Like, you're a great mother. Like, they're just so
yeah
supportive of each other. It's beautiful.
They build each other up. They protect each other.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's R A KUTEN.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
It's really something.
It's so
nice.
They
make a great little family. They're a great little family.
And then some of their sillier moments, too. I mean, like, all of their sing-alongs. Like, they're just fucking adorable. Like, I love them together.
They just, because that's when they have chemistry. That's when they have chemistry. Because they do. And they just, and they like effortlessly work together, you know? Like.
Grandma knows it. We all know
grandma
it.
Grandma knows it.
We Frank all know knows it. It. I know. Do we want to talk about any of the other gay characters in this?
Well, okay, yes. I do have a couple more things that I want to talk about with Lydia specifically.
Yes.
One of them is really fast. I have two notes on this of just like, again, little throwaway things where I'm like, kind of gay. One is that she just keeps screaming, hold on to your tatas.
She loves tatas.
She's a boobs lady, right? She loves some tatas. Also, this one is a little bit longer, but I think it's an important piece to make because I feel like the movie itself is telling us how gay Lydia is in one more really important way, which is... Oh, there's one. I wish I could remember the context of the scene that they're in. I just remember that they're talking about, like, men or dating or something. And Lydia has this line at one point where she's like, oh, like, not the guys I date. Like, but she doesn't say guys. She uses another word. She's like, not the people I date. Like, I like them thick.
Yes.
Right? And I'm sorry, but you know what Jason Bateman isn't?
Thick.
Thick. Like, they basically have given us one thing about what Lydia's type is, and it is not Jason Bateman. Not
also,
at all.
Also, that entire thing, I feel like they, like, play it up like there's some, like, insane chemistry between them and it doesn't exist. But, like, the other side of it is Lydia's, like, sleeping with him to get information.
Yeah.
And I feel like you could just lean into that where she's like, I'm not interested at all. I legitimately was doing this just to get more information, but they like play into it like, oh, she really liked it. And that just like skeeves me out even more.
Gross.
Like, it's so, ugh. Like, she
really
like, puts old bay sauce on his claws. Like, I cannot.
It's real bad.
But you have that opportunity where she like sleeps with the crab man and she comes and talks to Emily about it. And like, Emily could be jealous. Mm-hmm. And then she could be like, no, like, I just did it because I want to make sure that I'm saving us and our family and blah, blah, blah. Like, you have that happen. Like, that has happened before in, like, not Austin Powers, but, like, literally, like, Austin Powers, like, slept with a woman to get information and then Felicity's mad and whatever. But, like, you, there's moments that have happened in other movies like that that I feel like you could play with and it would be fun in a gay way. It's like,
yeah,
no,
especially because her type
is
for sure Emily.
Yeah. I just licked his claws or something.
Yeah.
So weird.
Okay. Maybe my final Lydia point, and I will use this to transition us to some of our other gay characters, because the other thing that I thought was like so funny and so gay is in the very, very beginning
when
there's
she
like
sees
that
laser.
Drive-by with Laser. And they have this whole slow-mo sequence with Laser, who is so fucking queer-coded. I'm sorry. It's, like, painful how gay they made her. And there's this whole slow-mo drive-by where they have, like, the most extended eye contact. And, like, it's a lot. It's a
Lydia
lot.
Literally mouths, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But, like, she says that before, I think, Laser has actually... shot lasers.
Yes.
So she's just saying that about how hot Laser is.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. 100%. I clocked that 1,000,000% too. I was like, is she really just checking out Laser right now? Yeah. Yeah.
And Laser, who like, I don't know. I kept trying to figure out throughout the movie, like, why is it that Laser is so clearly gay? Because it's not like, I don't have any dialogue from her, like, there's nothing written down, like, on paper she doesn't it's not that she's gay on paper, she's gay in like the acting choices,
her energy. Well, she's just like very, she's obsessed with Lydia, I feel like.
Yes.
I mean, like, it's because she wants to kill her, but like, there's an underlying obsession there. I think it's also like the hair and the outfits.
The she outfits just, like, is definitely slinks, part of it.
She like slinks like a gay person in the same way that like I feel like Mystique is gay.
Yeah, it's you know there's what I mean? Also something I absolutely I get what you're talking about. I also feel like there's something about the like when you get I mean, it sounds really shitty to say it, but it's like I feel like so often when you have the guy, woman, female, femme fatale, whatever, who's there, they interact with the men around them in a very sexual way, usually in these types of movies. You know, and she doesn't.
Oh, no, not at all. She does not give a shit about the men.
There's like negative sensuality.
She either kills the men or like just does not care about them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Has zero interest in them, has zero rapport with any of them, clearly is not there to be, you know, oh, I'm here in my little sexy brassiere top and my zingers while, you know, strutting my chest out. No, she's like, I'm here in a fucking trench coat to kill some men and stare down women. I
it's gay. She's gay.
It's
girl
gay.
Is gay. And the only thing that's not gay about her, though, is she is a slow walker.
Mm, very true.
Gays notoriously fast walkers. That's my only
thing. You make
thing.
A good point. But I just feel otherwise, like the way she walks, though, is gay.
Oh, yeah. Just like this, right? the swagger of it.
Yeah.
She's a swaggy gay.
Feels very gay.
Mm-hmm. I also think the king is gay.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
The king is super gay.
The king whose superpower seems to be, as best as I can tell, hugging men.
Hugging and killing men with his hug.
He just, all he does, he's like, oh, I just gotta hug this guy to death. And I'm like, that's, like, they never even explain
like,
what his superpower
is. Honey.
Right?
It clearly
it's
is
weird.
He just like hugs he hugs people to death
and he's very flamboyant while doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like his
also
suits
the fact
are
that he has
too over
the
top.
Suits are too over the top. The yeah. fact that he is obsessed with his nickname. Anyone who calls him king, he's like the king. It is the king.
Yeah,
like clearly he has like some identity things with his name. He's like, this is my name, don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
And he's just like surrounds himself with male henchmen and one woman.
And one lesbian.
And one lesbian. Like that is gay.
That's a gay crew. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the king meets all these people by just going out to gay bars, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. 100% he met the crab man at a gay bar.
Yeah. 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 He's like, gotta put my crew together, better go out to the clubs, hug
and
some men to death.
Yes. It's also like that's like it like is weirdly sexual too, like because he's like
it is
yeah he has to physically touch them to kill them.
Yeah.
And like afterwards I feel like he's just like, oh great, it's a lot.
Yeah, it really does something for him.
It's weird. It's something else. And also it like is. in a weird way too, like I feel like male gay culture is also, this is going to go like way too deep, but men are expendable in gay culture where it's just like next, next, yeah. next. And yeah. he's sort of doing that by killing them where he's like, all
with
right.
his henchmen. His yeah. henchman is just like a real life Tinder or
exactly.
Grindr for
he's
him.
Like, yeah. not hot enough, not hot enough. Kill, kill, kill. Doesn't have abs. Dead. Laser. Can you get rid of this ugly man for me? Like, that's what this gay yeah. man is doing.
For sure. For sure.
He's like, I don't like that man, so let's kill him. Like, gay.
And he also, oh, he has one lesbian and then he teams up with the other lesbian that he, like, poaches from.
Yes, he
from
teams up with
team.
Allie, who's the other lesbian. So, yeah, he is making deals with every single gay in town.
Except
for Lydia and Emily.
For generic bargain brand AOC. What I forgot what the other mayor's name
oh,
was.
Oh, yeah. I forget.
She's very AOC coded.
She really is. And so, like, I could not tell you, like, what her personality is.
No, but she walks out in that little red, like, red blazer. Yeah. And I don't know why it made me laugh so much, but it made me laugh so much. I think because it felt like the kind of thing where it's like, you watch it now, right? This came out last year. So you watch this movie now and you're like, oh, AOC knockoff. I see. But I feel like in my head, I just like to picture someone watching in like, you know, 15 years, you know, and like not picking up on that at all.
No, I'm being like, who the hell is that? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, gay. Tracy's gay. I think the crab is also gay. In his own way, lots of trauma. Also, like, follows this man for, like, no reason.
Okay, hold on. I disagree with one point, which is that I think the crab man is bi.
Okay, valid.
Because I feel like there's this whole thing about how, like, he's like, oh, I'm half Creant, you know? Mm. He's like, I don't belong to, like, either side, really. And, like,
no
one understands
me. Yeah, he doesn't like labels and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere on that queer spectrum.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to headcanon him as bisexual though, yes. Because I feel like it fits his mm-hmm. whole shtick he's got going on, you know. I'm still not into him, but
no, I hate him. But for me, endgame is Lydia and Emily all the way.
Oh, I mean, obviously.
Like, just get rid of this man, and at the end, because also like Lydia almost dies for Emily, and Emily's like, no. And then she's like, I'm so sorry. And she like finally like spits up and wakes up.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a perfect moment for Emily to just be like, I thought I lost you. And they just make out and that's the end.
I also think it's very funny because like, again, I just sometimes when like movies just feel like they dialed it in a little bit right at the end where I love that they had to have Lydia jump out of this window, even though really she just could have tossed the suitcase in the water.
Yeah, I don't know why she needed to leave with the suitcase.
No, I feel like it was to make a dramatic gesture of, like, love and sacrifice, mm-hmm. and that's it.
Yep, and she did.
And she did.
But then it could have been that she was like, oh my god, thank you so much, you saved us all, I love you, let's get married.
They should
and
have then, kissed. While she was lying there, she should have kissed her.
And then we could have the wedding, and the grandmother would come back with the wedding cake topper.
They literally
set it up. Like, what the frick are you doing?
That's why I'm saying that line. That's why I was like, I cannot promise that this movie does not end in a wedding, because honestly, they had the perfect setup.
The perfect setup
with no payoff. What's the payoff to that line? You never even see grandma again.
I know. I wish we saw grandma at the end. Even if you want to continue the joke. Show
yes.
grandma at the end with the wedding topper and we don't see the crab man. And then you just like black out.
And then you black out.
And
because
we don't know if they're going to get together, but like they might.
We could write such better movies than this.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing. You have the perfect setup. You have all these things. And I feel like you could write. Okay, here's how I end the movie. You ready? So
ready.
Lydia jumps in the water with the bomb, explodes. Oh my god, no, we're sad, we're crying. They run down, she's on the ground, they're pulling a sheet over her. Emily just sobbing, tears. No, Lydia, it's always been you,
mm-hmm.
right? Leans down to kiss her. You can still make the comedy of it. You have her wake up, throwing up the river water in her face,
yep.
trying to kiss her. You make it funny, and then you have her, and then you have them kiss, right? And be like, it was always you too. I've been waiting my whole life for you.
Yep.
Sob, sob, sob. Then you cut to their wedding. Wedding cake toppers on the cake. Grandma sitting at the table saying, I always knew it,
mm-hmm.
to Frank, who's also there,
yep.
right? You have them walk out in her fucking Slayer t-shirt, right?
Yep.
And you have Emily roll her eyes, being like, oh, you're so silly, but I love you anyways. Tracy's walking them down the aisle or the officiant. I don't even know. She could do everything. She'll do
Tracy's
the whole fucking
definitely
wedding.
Part of it. Yeah.
Tracy's marrying them, right? And she's so happy because she finally has her family together. They kiss as Kiss from a Rose starts playing.
Perfect.
And you tie in all of these threads. And I'm sorry, but I dare anyone to tell me that that is not a better ending to this movie than her and Jason Bateman fucking feeding each other raw chicken from his tiny little claw hand for no reason.
It's so much better. It's so much better.
They had a terrible ending.
I know.
To this movie.
It's so much better.
And I'm sorry, but mine is better. It's
so
better.
Much better.
Fight me. It's better.
So
like,
much
there's
better.
There's no way. It would have been. You can do so much. You could do so much.
So much. So which characters are we shipping?
Oh, hard to say. Okay, what is our Emily and Lydia ship name? Do we ship them with Emily and Lydia? Do we ship them with Bingo and Hammer?
Oh my god, Bammer.
Bammer.
Or Hingo. Or Limily.
Limily.
Emdia.
No, it doesn't work.
They have nice ship names either way. I think they fit well together.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, for me, that's it. There's no other ship in this. Like, it's
Counterforce.
Oh, God. Emily and Lydia. That's it for me, though. There's no other ships. Like, I got nothing
else.
There's
no other ships. I feel like I wanted to ship Allie with someone until she double-crossed
them. She went
them.
Bad. I mean, you could ship her with Laser.
Yeah,
they're both bad.
The thing is I can't. I don't ship Laser with anybody, though. I feel like Laser is... I don't know. Laser feels like a little too much like a shade for me.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
I can't see her doing a long-term committed thing.
No. But you could still ship her with someone, even if it's not long-term.
Okay, well then fine. I ship her and Allie together, but I want her to leave Allie heartbroken.
Okay, great.
I feel like Allie deserves
it. To be fair, yeah, Allie deserves it.
Yeah. I feel like I'll ship Tracy with someone once she,
when
you know,
she
gets a little
comes
older
of age, yeah,
and
she's
clearly
got
comes
her
out,
whole little,
she's very
yeah.
gay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, mainly it's, I mean,
Emily
Lydia,
and Lydia
that's the love
forever.
Story of the, that's the story
the,
of the
that's
movie.
That's the love story of our time, really.
Yeah.
Ugh. Should have been gay.
Should have been gay.
All right. You ready for our Q and gay?
Oh, I'm so ready. Let's do this.
Q and gay.
All right, here we go. Question number one. Who would you date? A, Lydia. B, Emily. C, the crab. Or D, Laser?
I'm dying if anyone picks the crab. I feel like we should have like a PSA when we put these up on Twitter to be like, if you pick Laser, we get some help. Here is therapy.
Yes.
Don't pick Laser. Who would I date? I'd probably date Emily. Let's be real. Mm. I like him smart. What can I say?
I get it.
She's not a nerd. She's
just smart. It's different.
There's a difference. Question two. Ellie, what's the gayest thing Lydia and Emily do out of A, rainbow friendship bracelets, B, falling asleep cuddling, C, become a duo, or D, constantly defend each other?
Oh, God, there's so many gay things. I have to go with like just...
It's hard. It's hard to pick.
I think falling asleep cuddling.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
the duo, yes, the friendship bracelet's gay, but I feel like the cuddling was like the moment that they became more than friends. So I'm going to go with falling asleep cuddling.
That's fair.
All right. Three, which would you rather have? A, super strength, or B, invisibility?
Oh, tough call. I mean, it's like the invisibility, they're both good. The invisibility appeals to me for a lot of reasons, but the super strength is like so handy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You can open a lot of jars.
I know. Like, I feel, as someone who does a lot of around-the-house stuff, you know, it just has so many useful applications that you can't really discount. So, I don't know. I feel like I have to go with super strength.
It's much more practical.
Okay. Question four. Who ships Thunder Force harder? A, me, or B, Grandma?
I want to say me, but, like, Grandma had the freaking wedding cake topper. Like, that is next level. It's Grandma.
It's grandma.
Question number five, Lee. What's the longest you've pined for an ex? A, 1 year. B, 5 years. C, 10 years. Or D, never look back.
I feel like I'm a D. I feel like I'm a never look back kind of person. I've never pined over an ex.
I feel that about you. I don't think I've pined.
They're good breaks. They're just like clean breaks, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if I've pined per se, but like, I feel like it's been difficult. I've probably had at least a year of like getting over someone.
Yeah.
Even if I was like not like, I want to get back with them.
See, I feel like part of the problem is that I've also always gone into another relationship.
Yeah, soon. Lee, that's, they have a name for that one.
This should surprise no one about me at this point, yeah. I feel like.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I have broken up with every, I mean, I haven't dated that many people, but I have always been the one to break up with them, and typically it was for someone different.
Yep. So makes it a little easier.
I had one guy I broke up with to date a different guy, broke up with that guy because I was very, very gay. And then, you know, broke up in college to date Kelsey. So
that's it.
Oops.
Never look back.
Don't look back.
It's okay, Lee. Remember, everyone, you can answer our Q and Gay questions on our Twitter at Les Hang Out Pod.
Let me hear you say, hip, 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 we're gay.
We love hearing from all of you. We love continuing to build this community. So we just want to shout out some of our favorite things every episode. And this week, we want to give a special shout out to a listener who emailed us, Oriane, who told us, A, that they've been listening to the podcast and how much they appreciate it, and also wanted to let us know that they have a Substack where they've been writing kind of all about, like, stories from their life, like thoughts, reflections, things like that. It's kind of like little, like, vignettes almost, like, into their life. So if you can read it, a lot of them you can read in French or in English. If anyone is interested in checking that out, you can find it at orianealix.substack.com. So that's AuriAnealix. And we just thought that was really nice. So thanks for reaching out. We are always happy to try to, you know, help get some stuff out there. And yeah, if you are interested, definitely check out the Substack. I read some of them today. They're super cute. I was going back and forth in English and French, and that made me happy.
While we're also shouting out projects that listeners are working on, there's also a new bisexual paranormal rom-com called Dead in Love by Nicole Damonasis, who's a Bay Area filmmaker right in your area. And pretty soon we'll be launching a crowdfunding campaign. We are all about trying to help independent queer creators get their stuff done. And especially since it's a rom-com, I'm guessing this one has a happy ending. So really excited for that. It is called Dead in Love. You can look it up at deadinlovefilm.com.
And as always, we want to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons, Mark Foster,
Tanya Ferguson,
Sarah and Julia,
Alana Rosen,
Lizette Stye,
Adi Benitez,
and Fiona W.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
Leah Henley,
Andrea Doucette,
and Julia Gonzalez. Thank you all so much. We could not continue to make this podcast without your support and the support of all of our patrons.
Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Les Hangout Pod.
You can send us an email at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
You can check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
And whatever app you use to listen to podcasts, make sure that you subscribe. That way you'll get new episodes as soon as they go up every week.
We're also posting videos on our YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/leshangoutpod to catch them.
Les Hang Out is an independently produced show. It's hosted by us. Audio production's done by Ellie. Our production assistant is Krista Murison. And Twitter shenanigans and various other graphics and things are done by me.
If you want to support the podcast, the easiest way to do that is to rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen. We love hearing what you have to say, and it helps new listeners find the show.
You can also support us financially by joining our Patreon at bit.ly/lespatreon. You get access to our patron-only Discord chat, ad-free episodes, Les Essentials watch parties, all sorts of great stuff.
If you want to get some Les Hangout merch, you can get that at bit.ly/lesshop. We have all kinds of fun gay shirts and tank tops, and you can get a little mug. I love all of my Les Hangout mugs. I have like a million of them because I love my tea. You can get that at bit.ly/leshshop.
Remember, we also have a queer production company making queer podcast musicals with guaranteed happy endings that you can find everywhere at Dollar Bean Prod.
Or at our website, dollarbeanproductions.com.
You can check out all of the episodes of our first show, The Flame, on any podcasting app.
And if you want to help support us specifically in making more musicals, you can join our Patreon at bit.ly/dollarbeanpatreon.
If you want to follow us individually, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Ellie Brigida. With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee.
And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.